Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
We might not be as many in number as we usually are, but I know we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord here in this place. Amen? So come on, come on. Can we put our hands together for God? Man, the song says, say yes, there's more that you require of me. Amen? Amen, amen. Is anybody that says yes to that? Yes. God says he wants more of you. Are you so ready to say yes?
Yes.
You are? You are?
Yes.
So God says he wants more of you. You're ready to say yes?
Yes.
Amen, okay. All right. All right. First, excuse me, Ephesians chapter 4, we read verses, I believe, 24 through 29. For the sake of time, we're going to read verse 29. Amen? When you have it, would you say amen or stand to your feet? Let me know that we're all ready. Amen. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, again, we say thank you. Thanking you again, God, for this time, for this moment, this day that we haven't seen before, God, that you chose to bless us with. Let this not be a day in vain, Father God, but let it be a day that we hear your word and that we respond to it and do what it is you've called us to do. God, we love you, and God, we thank you here in this place for everything, God. Help us, Father God, to receive your word by opening up our ears, our hearts, and our minds and allowing us to be that fertile soil as the seed comes forth. Father, it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen, amen, amen. Today's title, consider your conversation. Consider your conversation. Consider your conversation. It was a little weird as I was looking for this, studying, because I was like, okay, God, what is it that you'd have me to speak on? What is it that you want me to look at? And I didn't pick up the Bible. It sort of threw me off. I had this other book, some books some folk have been sharing with me, and just because I've been so busy, hadn't been so readily, you know, to pull it up and read it. And so I had this time, and I kept being drawn to this book. And I was like, okay. And I picked up the book, and I guess because of so many years of reading the Bible, I can't read like a regular book, like from one page to one page. I sort of read it like the Bible. I read a little bit, then I got to stop and think about it a little bit before I go on. And so when I have books like that, I just flip through some pages and open up and say, hey, what is this book about? And I fell on this area that was talking about gossip. And as I read that, I started thinking about different scriptures, and it led me to that gives us this message that we have today. Consider your conversation. consider your conversations. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Is there anybody here that has never gossiped? I figured it would be better to ask it that way instead of saying, is there anybody that ever has gossiped before? Anybody here that's never gossiped? Anybody got a definition of gossip? All these cell phones and all this other kind of stuff. Somebody look up gossip. What, I wonder what it even says. What is the definition of gossip? Gossip. I always thought gossip was when you talk about somebody. Right? When you talk about somebody. What does it say? Idle talk or rumor, especially about personal or private affairs of others. Wow. Check that out. As believers, we're supposed to love one another, right? As believers, we're supposed to lift each other up. And so if you were gossiping about somebody, that's not really lifting them up, right? It's a rumor. It might be fact. Maybe the thing that, you know, someone might gossip at work, talking about another coworker, it might be true. Then again, it could be a rumor, and you really not have any information or know nothing about it, but you just repeat something that you heard. Ever put a post out on Facebook to come back later on and delete it? Okay, let me do it. I've put posts on Facebook and I've had to come back and delete it because after I researched it and found out a little bit more, what I shared wasn't actually true. It started off as a rumor. Somebody said something, you heard it, you're like, oh, well, let me go ahead and share it. You know, you get a text or something, hey, they're giving away free such and such at Target today. Oh, let me let everybody know that something free is given away at Target today. And then now 20 people show up at Target. Shell said they was giving away free stuff. What in the world? Get this, not there. Gossip. Those type kind of, you know, things might look at that and say, well, gosh, that's not that harmful. Somebody sent me something, said it was free. I was trying to share it. I was trying to help everybody else out. It's not as harmful. But what if you gossip or you share some information about somebody and it's not true? Or let's say that it is true. Whether it's the truth or not really doesn't make a difference when we're dealing about gossip, because it's not really your business to be saying something about somebody else that's not designed to edify them, but designed to pull them down. It's amazing how many different definitions you'll find for the word gossip in the Bible. You take some time and spend, you'll find a lot of time the Bible talks about whispering. Whispering. You know why it says whispering quail? Because most of the time when people gossip, they try to keep it low so everybody can't hear, because the person that they're talking about might come in. They've been talking about somebody and they walk up. Talk about somebody, they walk up and change the subject up real quick. Gossiping. That's a good indicator that you might not need to be talking about what you're talking about if you can't say it publicly or if you can't say it directly to that person. Amen. Ephesians here, verse 29. There's a lot that's going on, and what's happening is the author here is trying to get folk to have a whole new way of thinking. He's trying to help them with with their thought process and the things that they do. So it starts off in verse 17. He's giving them a whole, hey, this is some things you ought to do different. These are some things as a believer you shouldn't do anymore. Understood that this is what we did as an unbeliever, but as a believer you shouldn't do these things no more. So we get down to verse 29 and it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What do we find that the Bible tells us about the mouth and about the tongue? About how powerful the tongue is. And the tongue has life and death. And it says, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Well, don't let this corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But what comes out of your mouth should be things that edify. Should be things that lift folk up. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. I got a few things I want to talk about. See, here's what gossiping does. It hurts people. If you've ever been on the receiving end of a rumor, it hurts people. That's not edifying. Not only does it hurt people, but it kills relationships. Kills. James, I thought you was my man. I thought we was good. I thought we was straight. But now I find out you've been talking about me. You've been saying all kinds of stuff behind my back. When we had a relationship, well, you could have just came to me. It kills relationship. Now, James ain't said nothing about me, y'all. Okay? We good. But it kills relationship. And so if you come to find out, as a parent, you come to find out your child is struggling. Your child is going through something. Your child didn't talk to you about it. You'd be hurt, right? Come to find out your friend, the person that says that they're your friend. There's something going on. You did something wrong or something that could have been done better. Whatever the rumor is, whatever they're talking about, but you would expect that person could come to you. It's a little saying between me and my buddies. Is that if they're doing something wrong or something's happening, instead of going into a long, drawn-out conversation, we say something that a lot of women would say to each other when some stuff wasn't right. We say, you're slipshoeing. We say, you're slipshoeing. Y'all know what a slip is, right? Y'all might not wear them as much now, but a slip was an undergarment that folk would wear up under their dress. And you would make sure the slip was a little bit shorter than the dress so that you wouldn't be able to see. But sometimes, I don't know, I ain't never wore a slip, so I can't tell you the details about it. But sometimes something would happen. And the slip would slide down a little bit. And folk would be like, yo, your slip is showing. Okay, did I explain that? Good, okay. So it hurts people. It hurts people. Not only does it hurt people, but it kills relationships. And it destroys trust. Destroys trust. I don't know if you've ever had a relationship where you've damaged the trust in that relationship. It's real easy to destroy trust. It's 10 times more difficult to build trust back up. Okay? We were just talking about grades, right? A and a B. Right? We was talking about the grades. So, each semester that you get ready to start a new class, you start off with 100. You start off with 100. You don't start off with a zero. You start off with 100. Start off with 100. Your first assignment that you turn in, you make 100 on that assignment, you still got 100 average. If your first assignment you turn in, you get a 50, what just happened to your grade? So let's say keeping it 100, should have wore that shirt. Keeping it 100 is trust. But each time your grade, each time you don't make a 100, each time you don't make a 100, the grade goes down. The grade goes down. And I don't know about anybody else, because I know we got all the scholarly folk in here. But I can remember when I was in school, no reason to get into the details. But for whatever reason, as it came close to the grading period, I would find that some of my scores wasn't where I wanted them to be because I had played around all semester. And so when it came to the end, I would go to the teacher and I would say, hey, what work you got for me? So some makeup work, some extra credit, something so that I could do. And I'd have to work so much harder to try to get that grade to build back up. But I never was able to get the grade back to 100. No matter what I did, I was unable to always, I couldn't get it. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get it back. Sometimes that's what happens in relationships. If you hurt somebody, you mess up the relationship, you're trying to get it back and work on this trust, folk might forgive you. As believers, that's what we're told to do, to forgive. Have no problem, can forgive. But the problem comes the trust. Because although I forgive you for what you did, it was raining. We're a couple. We only got one umbrella. You was real quick to get to the car to make sure you was dry. But left me out in the rain. I forgive you. Oh, baby, I'm so sorry. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I forgive you now that I'm standing here soaking wet. The next time it rains, and there's one umbrella. I forgave you last time, but I didn't forget that you left me out in the rain. Was that a good analogy? Watch these conversations. We talked about loving one another. Psalms 101, verse number 5. Psalm 101, verse number 5. There's some indicators to show you when you're gossiping, when your conversation. Psalms 101, verse number 5. For the Lord is good, his 101, verse 5, I'm sorry. Whosoever privily or privately or secretly slandereth his neighbor, him will I cast off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Psalm 101, verse number 5 says, it's in private, it's in secret, it's in whatever. There's an issue, there's a problem. You got to be able to talk to whoever about it. If you feel as though you can't talk directly to that person and you go to try to talk to somebody else about it, that's gossip. That's gossiping. God just says, he doesn't like that. Not just general conversation, but slander. There's a difference. There's a difference if I'm going to talk to Deacon Stacy about something, and talking about Deacon Stacy about something, I mention Sister Ree, and I say, hey, this is going on. That's going on. I'm not saying nothing to bring her down. It's just a conversation. The problem becomes when it's something that's tearing somebody down. When it's something that you're saying about something that you wouldn't say directly to that person. If I can come over here and I can say it directly to her, then I can say it to anybody. But if I come over here and I have a conversation with Todd, but I can't say it to her, then that's an issue. That's gossiping, okay? But God said he doesn't like that. He doesn't like that at all. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. one of those books. It's Titus, right after Timothy, right after 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 3. It says, a man that is a heretic after his first and second admonition reject. Might find that to read a little bit differently in a different version. But it's saying that what that scripture basically says is that a person that's a hypocrite, a person that person that's doing something wrong, person that's got something, you have to be able to go to them and you have to say something to them. After you say something to them the first time, after you say something to them the second time, if they don't catch it, leave that alone. Everybody got that? Leave that alone. Not pick up the phone and start a conversation about it. Not pick up the phone or try to talk to somebody else and tell such and such. You know, I went to go talk to Sister Erin, and when I was talking to her, she wasn't under, and I went and I talked to her again, but she still didn't. And so now I'm telling you, maybe you can talk to her. No, that's not the way that's supposed to go. That's still considered gossip. Amen. Proverbs 26 and 20. Proverbs 26 and 20. Proverbs 26 and 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Anybody catch that? 26 and 20. I'll read it again. Where no wood is, there the fire go out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. If you ever hung out with me at dusk, you know, when it gets in the evening, when it gets late or later at night, I like fire. I like fire. And so when somebody says, hey, Kevin, would you light the fire? Yeah, I light the fire. It's normally not a little, no, that ain't how that goes down. The whole branches, woof, throw the gas on there, that's, yeah, I like fire. But what I've learned in dealing with nature and all that kind of stuff, you know, you can start something and it'll start smoking. And it'll be putting off so much smoke. And you might look at this thing and go, wow, it's not igniting. But if you just leave it alone, where there's smoke, there's fire. Eventually, it'll catch on. It'll be okay. This says, well, if there's no wood, then there's no fire. If there's not someone to gossip and do all that other kind of stuff, then there won't be no strife. It causes division. Do you know how many churches are now no longer churches because of gossip? Do you know how many churches are now divided up into 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 different churches because of gossip? Do you know that there's family members that won't talk to other family members because of gossip? Do you know that there's teachers that treat students differently because of gossip from other teachers? If I, as pastor, was to tell you, and I'm being very facetious in saying this, if I was to tell you that everybody that wore a red shirt wasn't no good. Everybody that wears a red shirt, stay away from them. Don't mess with them people with them red shirts. They will get you in trouble. Them people with red shirts is going to mess you up. Don't mess with them people with red shirts. Sometimes they'll try to hide it and they'll put other little stuff in there, but it's still a red shirt. Don't mess with them. I heard that them people with them red shirts, they'll take everything you got. They'll take everything you got. You keep messing with them people with red shirts. Come here, Sean. Them people with red shirts, y'all better stop messing with them people with red shirts. Them people with red shirts, they sneaky. They'll be walking around. Come here, son. See, they don't even listen. Them people with red shirts, they don't listen. Them people with red shirts, y'all better watch out with them people with red shirts. And so now, you leave here. You go to the grocery store. Watch and see how many people you're going to see with red shirts on today. But you leave, you go to the grocery store, you go wherever, and you see somebody with a red shirt on. You don't even know that person. In your mind, you're going to be going, ooh, they got on a red shirt. That's how gossip works. They start to say something, you know, Sean, ooh, I was trying to take, ooh, this about Sean, blah, blah, blah. You don't even know. Sean, you know about that Sean? He stays out late at night. He don't come in till 2-3 in the morning. Sometimes he don't even come home. Am I telling the truth? He just out there. La, 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 la. If I go ahead and put that rumor out there, folks will start to believe that. And it's true. And I'm not lying, right? But what happens is that people don't know the story. People don't know that after he's gone to school all day and after he's worked all day and after he's done all that kind of stuff, that he's doing an internship. And so the internship he does is with a radio station. And so the only time that he has is late in the evening, early in the morning. So he doesn't come in till late. You see how that works? He wears a red shirt because he's a Maryland fan. He wears a red shirt because he went to Page. He wears red, he wears maroon and gold and all that because he likes Redskins. You see how gossip, the way it's presented, can look totally like something totally different. And it can be true. But if you don't have the whole story, you ain't going to have the whole story. Amen? Amen. 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 There's some ways that we can combat gossip, because I don't think just by having this sermon today that's going to eliminate gossip in the world. Hopefully it would have you to think twice about gossip, because when we pick up this Bible and we read it, I'm just giving you a few things. Take the time to pick it up yourself. James, you're studying Samuel, right? Got the second Samuel yet? All right. Second Samuel, chapters 13 through 15. Anybody familiar with that area of the Bible? Let me give you a quick breakdown, okay? Quick breakdown. There's a king named David. He has a daughter. Stepdaughter. She's raped. She's raped by actually his son. His older son. Younger son gets upset about that. Hey, Dad, this happened. You didn't do nothing about it. Runs off. Goes away. Hadn't been around in 2 years. Hadn't been in the city for 2 years. His dad calls from, hey, come back. But I don't want to see you. So for another 2 years, he's there with his dad in the same town. His dad don't want to see him. We're talking about King David here. I ain't making it up. 2 Samuel, chapter 13 through 15. Read it when you get a chance. And so, what happens is folks start talking. Rumors start happening. Things start going on. Because of these rumors and because of all these different things that goes on, it's a lot of drama that happens. A lot of drama. More than you'll find out in a story. More than you'll find out in a little television series. More than you'll find out in soap operas. 2 Samuel. Check it out for yourself. Gossip. Even with King David, gossip. Turmoil. Till he ends up losing his sons. Gossip. 2 Samuel. Check it out. You when gossip comes, we got to get rid of it. We got to get rid of it. And we might not be able to stop somebody from talking about it, but we sure can stop participating in it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Stop participating in it. And that's dealing with this Proverbs right here. There's no wood, there's no fire. So next time somebody brings gossip to you, don't acknowledge it. Don't acknowledge it. Turn around and say something positive. Oh, that Mika. Did y'all hear about that Mika? Did y'all hear about such and such and such and such? Turn around and say something positive. Say something positive. If you don't know her, come here, stand up. If you don't know her, if you don't know her and you can't say nothing positive, I want you to see something. If you don't know this young lady, stand back here so everybody can see. If you don't know this young lady, I want you to look at her right now. What do you see about her that is contagious? So there you go. If you have somebody that wants to gossip and wants to say something about something, point out something positive. Point out something positive. Hey, did you see her smile? Point out something positive. Turn around. Young folk, you're especially dealing with that right now. You're going to especially deal with gossip and all that other kind of stuff. Because right now, being younger, it's not saying that you don't know, but it's just that people are trying to learn themselves. They're trying to find out who exactly they are. And sometimes in trying to find out exactly who they are, it makes it look better for that individual if they can't rise above stuff. Then the only other way to do that is to try to push somebody else down. And so if I can point out the faults of somebody else or something that's wrong with somebody else, then that makes me look better. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Amara, you understand what I'm saying? Okay. And so that's what happens. And so people talk about folk. And so that's why folk will start to point out, oh, well, she got a big head, or that person's skin is this, or they got a whole bunch of bumps, or they short, or they got big thighs, or I know I'm saying stuff, but I really know what y'all really say in school, okay? But I'm letting you know, I'm just okay, got it, okay. So folks say all kinds of, that's why folks say that kind of stuff, all right? But the best way to do it is that when folks start that, just back on out of it. Back on out of it. One more scripture. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest one another? In gossiping, that's normally what's happening. Let me tell you something about somebody else. Again, if it's not to edify or to bring somebody up, then that gossiping, a key indicator, is that it's talking about somebody to try to bring them down. You don't have a heaven nor a hell of your own that you are in charge of to put somebody there. I'll say it again. You don't have a heaven nor do you have a hell to put anybody in that you are in charge of yourself. You don't. You all day long, heaven is my home as a believer. You can say it all day long, and I pray and I hope that it is your home. But you ain't in charge of who gets in. And so when gossiping comes and mess comes, don't get involved. Step back out of it. If it's something that's trying to judge somebody, trying to put somebody, oh, something as simple as, and I use it as an analogy with Sean, but it's really stuff just like that. Oh, it's a red shirt. It's a red shirt. Well, Pastor, what if they are really doing something wrong? What if something is really, really going on? Guess what? 9 times, 9.9999999999 out of 10 times, it is something that's going on. Because everybody got something that's going on. I'm hungry. Let's say I'm hungry. You're going to talk about it. Why not go to the store and get me something to eat? Why not give me something to eat? Why not give me some money so I can go buy myself something to eat? Rather than to go talk to somebody and tell them, Deion, you know Pastor Webb is hungry. How does that help? That doesn't help. Somebody comes to you and is willing to trust you enough to pour out their heart that they got an issue going on and they need some help. And your response is to go behind their back and to talk about it. What's the sermon title? Consider your conversation. Thank you, because I didn't write that down. Amen. Consider your conversation. Three C's, and I'll be gone. Three C's. Confess, conquer, and convert. Confess your sin of gossip. If you're guilty. If you're guilty, take it up with the Lord. Take it up with the Lord. I did my searching last night, and I found myself to be guilty. Found myself to be guilty. Whether it was guilty because I knowingly was doing it, whether it was guilty because I accidentally did it, however it is, there's been times in my life that I've gossiped. God is not pleased with gossiping. So the first thing to do is to realize that's going on, confess it, take it up with the Lord. Amen? Amen. After you confess, then you got to understand how this can be conquered. Because if you're a person and gossip has become addictive to you, if you're the person that everybody knows to pick up the phone and call when they hear some mess and something's going on, if you find yourself in the center of it all when stuff goes down, now we got to conquer this gossip. And I'm here to tell you, you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. I think I mentioned earlier that the Bible says this tongue, life and death lies within this tongue. But there's also scripture that talks about being able to tame this tongue. And you can't do it on your own. You're going to need some help. And so to be able to conquer anything, I got to go to Him first. I got to put Him first in every single bit of it. And so if you're having a problem with gossip, if you're having a problem with saying stuff, pulling somebody down, slandering, whispering, finding yourself doing all that other kind of stuff, you know what? Change your conversation to be about Him. I guarantee you, the people that bring you gossip, once you start talking about the Lord, they'll be like, hey, man. You got a scripture every time they come with you, oh, Jesus. It might seem weird, but you go ahead and take your Bible and have it sitting on your desk. You go ahead and have you some scriptures. You go ahead and wear some shirts that's got scriptures on the back. Folk won't come to you with stuff no more. I don't know. They'll walk away. That happened that way. We have to confess it. We have to conquer it. We can't conquer it on. Last thing is we have to convert. Amen? Amen. Convert your speech and commit yourselves unto the Lord. That ends up being four C's, doesn't it? Convert, commit, yeah. Convert your speech. Change up how you talk. Consider your conversations. If life and death lies within the tongue, and I'm using my tongue to talk about other stuff, but then I'm complaining about why my situation isn't changing, I wonder why. I wonder why. I wonder why stuff ain't changing around. I wonder why the spouse ain't acting right. You been talking about him? I wonder why the child hadn't been doing it. Well, how many times you done said they get on your nerves? How many times you done said they make me sick? See, it's real simple for those little sayings to come out, but do you really understand that those things have power? They have power. We look at the different things and that's going on in the world and all this other kind of stuff. Makes you wonder what people are talking about. What are people talking about? We would just consider our conversation. Amen? Amen, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Consider our conversations. It was sort of weird studying. Last night, as I was studying and looking over some stuff, used to my wife being right there. And with her being right there, there's conversation. Last night I didn't have conversation because she's on a women's retreat. And I'm glad she's gone. I'm glad. I want to have a wonderful time. I want to have a good time. I'm going to do my best not to pick up the phone and call her and ask her, where's the mayonnaise? I want a sandwich. And I don't understand. What? No bread in the house? What the? This morning I just said to one of the boys, I was like, go check and see if there's some orange juice in the refrigerator. Kids did wonderful this morning. They got up, they cooked breakfast, everything, brought me breakfast. I'm like, yes, that's wonderful. Appreciate it. Very, 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 very proud of that. Because if they hadn't, I'd have been sitting there going, where's my breakfast? Sunday morning. Consider your conversation. You know, that conversation I would have normally had with her. We would have talked. You know, we would have talked this morning, even though it might have seemed like I wasn't listening because I'm focused on, but we would have talked. Consider your conversation. It's not there right now. So that was a little, sort of don't miss it until it's gone type kind of thing where I didn't forethink, hey, for the next few nights, I'm sitting here in the bedroom by myself, which can be a good thing at times, but then again, it can be. Hey, man. But consider your conversation. When you go back to work and folks start talking about the same stuff, where's the positivity that comes out of? I don't know. Maybe you got a family member. Maybe you got a family member that's going through some stuff right now. And you know how family is. Everybody know that they're going through. Everybody know that they got something going on. But who's the person that's actually reached out to try to help? Instead of being the participant on the phone or calling back and forth. Consider your conversation. The next time somebody wants to talk down about one of your coworkers, it ain't a secret. Everybody already know that they the ones that slack. Everybody already know they the ones that got stuff going on. It's not a secret. They don't meet their quotas. They don't do whatever the case is. Why sit there and talk about it? You've talked about it already and it hadn't changed, right? Isn't it a form of insanity to keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting something different to happen, but the same thing continues to go on? Well, if you want to see change, consider your conversation. Do something different. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's personal decision time. Personal decision time. If after listening.